The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is Thursday, April 29th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to our show. We're glad to have you here, our 497th episode of Normal Show Live. And joining me here in the studio, pushing the buttons and turning the knobs, is the maestro himself, Ganja John.
Hey, everybody.
We're feeling better today, Ganja John?
Yeah, I had dialysis last night. Sometimes they suck the sickness out of you. I feel a little bit better today, but they ruined my Octa shirt last night. They got blood all over it. So now my Octa shirt, I can say that I have blood, sweat, and tears in Octa.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Also joining us in our virtual studio in beautiful Astoria, Oregon, my good friend and half-half sister, Cannabis Carrie.
Wow, a blood-soaked t-shirt. That sounds pretty hardcore, Ganja John.
I am hardcore. That's
I
true.
Know. And the whole idea that you can go in every couple of days and just get a whole new set of filtered blood, that's just...
They suck it out. They put it back in.
I guess there is a bright side, you know, silver lining.
Get vampired three times a week.
Silver lining to every cloud here. Yeah. All right, well, coming up on today's show, we're going to get to your hemp headlines. Carrie brings those to us right after our first break. So, Carrie, what's in the news today?
Well, it's surprising that ESPN and Sports Illustrated has been my main source of cannabis news lately, but I have another sports story that I want to bring to you today. And we're also going to talk about one of the medical marijuana states who has a contentious bill that has stepped one step closer to becoming a law. And then we're going to go to California, where it seems like some students have been duped into claiming a political ally when they really didn't know what they were doing. Mm. So we'll cover all those coming up.
Excellent. We had some people chatting about that in our chat room as well, so we'll get that headline out. And of course, today is our Groovin' Thursday, which is brought to us by JohnDoeRadio.com. Groovin' Thursday, the best in hip hop, rap, funk, R&B, all that kind of music. Today's song is going to be Big Low, and the song is called Watch His Move. We'll get to that right at 20 after the hour. And then at 30 after the hour, as we do on these odd Thursdays of the month, we visit with Terry Joyce and the Southern California scene. She's got a guest, and I don't have the name of the guest yet, but I know she's always got a great guest for us to talk to. We'll also look back at our weekend together. It was the first time I've gotten to see Terry Joyce in, I believe, 3 years in person. We had a good time at the THC Exposé, as well as giving our respects at the Jack Herer Memorial. And speaking of Jack Herer, at the end of the show, I'm going to be giving you my radical rant, kind of a two-parter, WWJHD, What Would Jack Herer Do? And a look at one of the kookier people in the marijuana movement. I hesitate to even say he's in the movement. He's a one-man movement of a certain kind. Bruce Kane, I'll be discussing, because he sent me some emails that really pissed me off, and I got to get some stuff off my chest, and it's my show, and I'm going to do it. So we'll do that right at the end of the show in the Radical Rant. So stay tuned. All of that, plus the Cannabis Community Calendar coming up here, the Global Marijuana March taking place this Saturday in 300 cities all across the nation and around the world. Check normal.org for the latest cities or cures-wars-cures.wars.org.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 14 states today, and THCF has clinics in 10 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Michigan, New Mexico, and Rhode Island. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or call 1-800-723-0188.
Look, when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Remember, Mr. President, you once were just one bust away from being Barry the drug criminal.
Life ain't a box of chocolates gum. That's why people smoke weed and take bumps and drink way too damn much and get drunk and do it all over again for.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
A voter fraud investigation has been opened in California after dozens of people in Orange County have reported to being tricked into registering as Republicans by campaigners who said they were petitioning for marijuana decriminalization. The fraud occurred during January and February at Cypress College, Golden West College, and outside of discount stores like Walmart and Food for Less. At least 99 written complaints have been submitted to state election officials by the Orange County residents who say they were registered to vote Republican against their will. An additional 74 voters said that they were duped as well. The scam targeted individuals who were rushing to classes or heading to their cars when the signature gatherer stopped to ask them to sign a petition for causes such as marijuana legalization and, in a few cases, fighting cancer and cleaning beaches. When the target would sign the first sheet, the petitioner would produce more papers to fill out, and often the victims would scribble their information quickly to hurry on their way, failing to notice they were filling out voter registration cards. Targets were generally considered less likely to be politically active, such as young voters, and all those identified so far in the fraud were under 28 years old, many claiming that they knew little about politics or voting. The Orange County Republican Party had requested that the district attorney investigate the allegations, and now California's Secretary of State, along with the deputy attorney, have taken on the case. Some suggest the blame lies with the county's GOP party paying an $8 reward for every new Republican registered. The situation is similar to a 2006 incident in the same county where the same type of fraud had taken place and ultimately blamed on the bounty reward system paid to signature gatherers. 167 voters were affected in that case, but the GOP party began the practice again this year. Taking advantage of students who are often sympathetic to harsh cannabis laws is a tactic that may scare some younger voters away from politics, but more likely will just line the pockets of unscrupulous temp workers.
All right, before I begin opining on this, let me just state right up front that Normal is a nonpartisan organization. We don't endorse any particular party one way or the other. Now that that's out of the way. Okay, first of all, I love the notion that legalizing marijuana is more popular than registering to vote Republican. That's the thing that stands out to me right away. It's like, well, we could ask them to register as Republicans. No, they'll never fall for that. I know. We'll tell them we're legalizing pot. Okay, so and $8 a head. That's good to know. That's the going price on Republicans right now. $8 a head.
That's a good price.
Yeah, it's not so bad. You know, I could round up a few in Idaho, you know.
Oh, definitely.
Make enough money to buy a keg. I don't know. So, yeah, this voter fraud, you know, to be serious here, in my previous incarnation on radio, I was a political talk radio host. And I remember during the 2008 election campaign, the Republican Party at the national level was screaming bloody murder about how Democrats and Acorn and all these people were involved in fraudulent voter activities. So it does make me laugh to find, once again, Orange County GOP getting caught with their hands in the cookie jar, so to speak, here by fraudulently registering new voters. The good news is this is not, you know, any major problem. All these people who were allegedly duped, and again, I kind of wonder, you know, how closely are they looking at things and looking at politics if they could be duped by this? But these people can easily change their registrations. It's not like the end of the world. It's not like they're permanently going to be Republicans. And a final note here too: the Republican Party would be smart to actually just go back to its roots of limited government and personal responsibility and states' rights, and just openly support marijuana legalization and register people as GOP for that. If they were to turn to their roots and to the popularity that marijuana legalization is beginning to enjoy, I think it would lead a resurgence in conservatism and small government and Republican Party ideals.
And, you know, you got to remember, Russ, too, that party was started to end slavery. I mean, it was, yeah. I mean, it's gone so ass backwards. And I mean, I can't even call it GOP anymore, but yeah, that's just my opinion.
A lot of people looking for a new way, and maybe marijuana legalization could be part of that.
More sports news, but this time it is in college basketball. The University of Nevada at Las Vegas has benched their junior forward, Matt Shaw, who started in 11 games for UNLV's NCAA tournament. Shaw tested positive for cannabis during a random drug test administered during the NCAA tournament held in March. Matt Shaw's college career is getting cut short after the school announced the decision to suspend Shaw for an entire year, a move that will make the athlete ineligible for what would have been his entire senior year. The move was released as a statement through the school's athletic department on Tuesday, the same day that the 6'8", 22-year-old admitted to failing the drug test administered during the tournament. Shaw's admission was in the form of a statement he released saying, "I tested positive for a NCAA banned substance, and it will cost me my senior season. I made a poor decision, but I take responsibility for it. I apologize to my teammates, my coaches, and the fans. I hope the fans will remember me for what I tried to give to this program and accept my apology." Shaw was fourth on his team in scoring this last season and was planning on being an integral part of the team during his senior year. Some fans of the Running Rebels are outraged at the harsh punishment. Shaw most likely would not have been punished if he had chosen a much more toxic and damaging substance like alcohol.
College basketball player caught smoking weed. Are you sure he just wasn't studying for the NBA? You know, they say like 60 to 70% of the NBA players are known to have used cannabis. And every time these sports stories come up, I always have to, you know, come back to the fact that when they catch these guys, it's almost always cannabis that they're testing positive. Very rarely do you ever hear of the star basketball player who tested positive for heroin, you know, and they got to kick him off the team and get rid of his senior season. You never catch these guys with a baggie of meth on them, right? Occasionally, every now and then, you get one of these guys for cocaine. But by and large, it's marijuana we're talking about. And when you've got these people who are the athletes in the prime of their lives, whose education, their scholarships, and when they become pros, their very livelihood depends on keeping their bodies in the peak of condition, it only makes sense for them to use cannabis. Like Carrie said, if this guy had been, you know, out there on the Vegas Strip running around, you know, drinking mixed drinks out in the open like they can in Vegas, there wouldn't be any issue here. And yet, his performance would suffer, you know, if he came to a practice or a game hungover, if his reaction times were down from being hungover or being a little bit inebriated, the problems he can get into with regards to drinking and driving. We hear of numerous incidents of these young men going to strip clubs or nightclubs where there's lots of alcohol involved and getting into altercations, assaults, and so on. There's the domestic violence that comes from alcohol. All of that all of those possible risks are faced by these young people using alcohol, and that's never a problem. It's a sick double standard, and I can't wait until we finally re-legalize cannabis so these athletes can get the benefit of this safe, therapeutically safe, active substance that can help them with inflammation and pain and so much more, rather than drinking or using these toxic pharmaceuticals.
For 4 months now, the college legislature has been trying to find common ground to pass House Bill 1284, a dispensary regulation bill that has cannabis activists at odds with each other. On Tuesday night, the Senate Local Government Committee passed the bill with a unanimous vote at 11:30 p.m. after a nine-hour debate. Its purpose is intended to regulate the businesses that sell medical cannabis, but individual caregivers will be affected as well, leading to activists to voice concerns over limited access for patients. Colorado, along with California, are leading the nation in new dispensary businesses opening up, leading to debates over regulating this bold new industry. Opponents of medical marijuana say regulation is needed to crack down on what they see as recreational abuse of the system. Under the proposed bill, dispensaries would have to be licensed through the Department of Revenue, and it will now cost them between $10,000 and $35,000 for the right to open their doors. The state's fees would be in addition to any city fees that may be required, such as the $3,000 a year it costs to operate a Denver City dispensary. That was thanks to new business regulations that were passed by the Denver City Council earlier this year. Owners would have to pass extensive criminal background checks and have clean records and grow 70% of the medical marijuana that they sell. Many in the industry do not grow their own product, instead relying on growers that they contract with. This new system will see those small mom-and-pop dispensaries being forced to close. One of the bill's sponsors, Senator Chris Romer, believes that about 80% of the state's estimated 1,000 dispensaries would have to shut down if the proposed regulation were to pass. Also, anyone under 21 would no longer be allowed to work or visit a medical marijuana dispensary in the state. The bill has added amendments that will also allow individual cities to ban dispensaries, and this may lead to patients having no access to their constitutional right of using cannabis for medical reasons, and will send many rural patients back to the black market to get their medicine. The bill will now go to another committee before going to the full Senate for a debate and an eventual vote.
You know, these legislators just don't get it when it comes to medical marijuana, or for that matter, the laws of supply and demand, right? The reason there are so many dispensaries in LA or in Denver is because they're needed, because the people need them, because there is a demand for this medicine. It's not easy for everyone to grow. You can't just arbitrarily decide, you know what, there should be 60 dispensaries, or there should be 20 dispensaries. No, you have to go by what the needs of the patients are, especially in Colorado, where it is their constitutional right to use cannabis to treat themselves. You know, it just cracks me up every time, it's the same mindset that comes from prohibition, right? We'll just say, don't do it, and then people won't do it. No. People will do it. People will continue to do it. And as Carrie said, these people will continue to get their medicine, whether there is a legal dispensary open or whether it's a high school kid in a parking lot that's getting it for them. They are going to get their medicine. These legislators would be wise to come to their senses and just regulate and control what is already in existence, to come up with some meaningful regulations that aren't so onerous that they're going to wipe out 80% of the business that's going on there. And this Chris Romer, I also wanted to mention this because I got this in one of my emails from the activists out in the Denver area, and they talked about how he was at this hearing talking about, quote, auditors with guns, and that he used the term auditors with guns like 20 times in his talk. Well, things will really change here once we get auditors with guns looking over all these things. There won't be so much excess here once we have some auditors with guns. Boy, can you imagine any other business that if a state senator came out and started talking about sending auditors with guns to their business, that there wouldn't be a hue and cry from the business community in general and that industry in particular? Auditors with guns. The idea being here that medical marijuana is somehow some link to criminal activity or somehow dangerous in and of itself, and that we need auditors with guns to control it all. And of course, the ironic thing being that the only thing that causes the violence is the prohibition of cannabis. And if they were to allow more dispensaries, they would have less violence. We've seen that with all the towns and the cities that have had dispensaries. They have less home break-ins. They have less problems. They have less crime. The LAPD mentioned they have less crime than do the banks in LA. So, again, provide people with safe access and you eliminate the problems of prohibition, the violence, the corruption, and hopefully, eventually, the high prices that are borne by this prohibitionary market. Thank you, Carrie. Oh boy, it's time to take a break. I am a little logy today. I've had about 3.5 hours of sleep, working hard, answering over 1,000 emails from all of you. Keep sending them, stashed@normal.org. We're right back after this.
It's 20 after the hour. We have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well-trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
Been busted? Need a lawyer? Call the Normal Legal Committee for an attorney near you. Find one at norml.org. Remember, attorneys are cheaper than a lifelong criminal drug record.
It's that freedom. Freedom. I'm free to do
it. It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
All right, it's time to check our cannabis community calendar, which you can find at norml.org/calendar. Really, only one big event I want to tell you about, and that is this Saturday's Global Cannabis March. It's taking place in over 300 cities all across the country and around the world. Here in Portland, Oregon, we'll be doing our Million Marijuana March from the Pioneer Courthouse Square, which is downtown Portland, Oregon, right off of the MAX line. You can ride there from the airport. You can ride there from anywhere in town, pretty much, and once you're downtown, it's free to ride in the Fairless Square area. So come on down. We're going to be there starting at 10 a.m. The load-in happens much before that, but 10 a.m. was when we'll start our stream right here at live.normal.org. And we've got speakers and bands and vendors, all sorts of interesting stuff. Then at high noon, I'm going to get the new remote device that we got hooked up here, a little netbook, and you'll get to march along with me in the march. We're hoping for 1,000 people this year. Through the streets of Portland with a full police escort, marching to legalize cannabis. Then it's back to Pioneer Courthouse Square for the rest of the day. I'll be up on stage speaking. I'll be doing some of my presentations. There'll be plenty of other speakers, including Madeline Martinez, our own Cannabis Carrie, Scott Gordon from Herb Age Designs, and many, many more. Plus, plenty of bands and great music to listen to. This is happening in Portland, Oregon, up until 5 p.m. And then after 5, I think we got a private party at the cafe that we're heading to. Is that the...
Yeah.
That's what I've heard. Ganja John says, yeah. So we might bring you some stream from there as well. Maybe we could do the march as our 499th show, and then the private party can be our 500th show.
It's going to be a fun show.
Yeah, it could be definitely a fun show. If we can remember how to hook everything up after all of that.
I'm certainly doubting it, but
we'll write it all down. So for this and all the other data and information you need about Normal chapters all around the country, check out the Normal Cannabis Community Calendar at norml.org/calendar. Now, let's see if we can get to our daily Toker tunes. Are we having a problem with the intro? Is that
It seems we did a database rebuild, and a few of the tracks didn't get on there, and we had them play, and they played nothing.
So okay, how about the song itself? Can we?
I think we can, yeah.
All right, well, this one comes from JohnDoeRadio.com. John Doe always brings us our Thursday tunes for Groovin' Thursday. This song is Big Low, and it is entitled Watch His Move. Enjoy.
Produced over a mile above sea level.
How much higher can you get?
What's up? I'm John Doe with your Groovin' Thursday tune on Normal Show Live. Big Low, as described off his Reverb Nation bio, it speaks for itself, I think. Imagine an MC, you know? An MC who is far more lyrically talented than your ordinary run-of-the-mill MC. Now picture that same MC having a penchant for mind-altering drugs that often lead to the ultra-violence followed by a bit of the old in-and-out. Okay, take that same MC and give him the thought process of gonzo journalist Hunter S. Thompson mixed with the military mastermind Otto von Bismarck. Sprinkle in a little dash of Frank Sinatra, cool, and you have Big Low. Well, if that bio does not read for itself, I don't know what does. Once again, I present you with an artist who has perfected the art of hip-hop and mastered the important talent of using great samples in the best way possible. Sampling was and still is the backbone to gaining the best underground-sounding beats possible in hip-hop and rap. The language is spoken well on this track for Big Low. It's featuring Inferno. The song's called Watch His Move. You heard it on Normal Show Live. I am John Doe. Till we meet again. See ya.
Death shouldn't be rushed. One should savor it like fine wine and enjoy its aroma. But if, in consideration of your impatience, I must kill you now, so be it. Watch his move.
Yeah, try to approach me closely. I leave you comatose, don't provoke me.
Watch his move.
Yeah, try to approach me closely. I leave you comatose, don't provoke me.
Watch his move.
Yeah, try to approach me closely. I leave you comatose, don't provoke me.
Watch his move.
Yeah, try to approach me closely. I leave you comatose, don't provoke me. Samurai Swift with the 4/5 linguist expense. Choose your words wisely. A death's gift for split your lips. Proving that your vaginal, I imagine you as a magical plan of eyes with surprises. Disguises your demise. In any case, you won't leave her alive. My memory previously supplied with poisonous knives. We intercepted your spies. Can have the children of wives. Cut out their tongues. I got focus and we eyes of their eyes. Now we go village to village and destroy your bloodline. History will never show you existed in due time. History will only show how I slew you with rhymes. From Genghis Khan to the Spanish. Holding it nine. I got the hook. Plus a sinker when I'm holding the line. I got a rig with dynamite. I'm blowing your mind. I take a compact disc right up out of your spine. I burn my mixtape on it so you know I say bomb. I gotta
watch his move.
Yeah, try to approach me closely. I leave you comatose, don't provoke me.
Watch his move.
Yeah, try to approach me closely. I leave you comatose, don't provoke me.
Watch his move.
Yeah, try to approach me closely. I leave you comatose, don't provoke me.
Watch his move.
Yeah, try to approach me closely. I leave you comatose, don't provoke me.
I'm through a law. Oh, right, the kid is rough. Oh, around, get the iron fist straight to the jaw. Focus hard. You don't want to spar with God. I got the mind of Hussein, not Barack, but Saddam. 48 laws plus the element strong. I'm that last motherfucker you all see in the dark. You don't really want for all the peace in the start. I'm the type down to butcher you that feasts on your heart. Listen up, Ock. You don't overstand heat. Overstand, I walk through hell with Dante's feet. Overstand fears, only a turn fit for the weak. So I'm for rap, rather for the burners to speak. I'm yearning to eat, and I go at it like a tyrant. It's like a Thermopylae pass, and I am Leonidas. Right, horror show. You should call this clockwork. Don't know about the shine, but I can show you how the Glock burst.
Watch his move.
Yeah, try to approach me closely. I leave you comatose, don't provoke me.
Watch his move.
Yeah, try to approach me closely. I leave you comatose, don't provoke me.
Watch his move.
Yeah, try to approach me closely. I leave you comatose, don't provoke me.
Watch his move.
Yeah, try to approach me closely. I leave you comatose, don't provoke me.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. four locations, call 541-788-BLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Weed.
That's Groovy Valley, Hoovy Hop.
Weed.
Where any office boy or young mechanic.
Now it's time for a report from the epicenter of American cannabis culture with our Southern California correspondent. You know her from ComedyNation.com and her appearance as a finalist on season one of NBC's Last Comic Standing. It's our friend, cannabis comedian and marijuana activist, the lovely and talented Terry Joyce.
So great to be back with Terry Hello. Joyce. It seems like we were just hanging out together, weren't we?
We were, and we had such a great time.
Oh,
I absolutely
had a blast with Terry. Terry drove me all around Los Angeles, all the way up Sepulveda to Mission Hills for the Jack Herer Memorial, and all the way back to the L.A. Coliseum. And I'm telling you, if you've ever been in Los Angeles, getting a ride from someone, you know, all the way across town, that shows that they truly care. So, Terry, thank you so much for all of that.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. I think that is true. It's interesting how L.A. is so spread out. And it is a bit of a maneuver to get around in Los Angeles, but I appreciate it. I had a great time, and the memorial was just amazing. There were so many eloquent speakers, and was really touched and actually inspired about how long and who the real people from way back when, 30 years ago, were actually started this movement. It felt very connected. It was really wonderful.
Yeah, it felt like being around the giants of marijuana reform in California and, you know, around the country. It was an honor to be there, and I was really happy to be there with you. We got to see so many people that we talked to on the show and get to see them in person. I got to meet January Thomas for the first time in person. That was wonderful. And Henry Hemp was there as well.
Yeah, they were there, and January and I were promoting our American Hunters show. We have a show coming up on May 15th at the Berkeley Clinic in Hollywood, and Henry Hemp has so many things going on. He has a collective down in San Diego, and also is connected to our guest that we have today, which I'm really excited to bring on the show. They have a website, and it's called MyMarijuanaCommunity.com, and they're out of San Diego, pretty much covering all the news that's happening around in the marijuana community, but specifically San Diego, which tends to be a little bit stricter in their laws surrounding marijuana than Los Angeles is. So I would like to welcome Dave Simpson to the show.
Well, Dave Simpson, welcome to...
Very happy to be here.
Yeah, welcome to Normal Show Live. We're really glad to have you here. And so you're working down there in southern California, all the way to San Diego, of course, the land of District Attorney Bonnie Dumanis, who's been persecuting medical marijuana patients, caregivers, and collectives as well. And you've got a website, MyMarijuanaCommunity.com. What led you to want to start that site and do your activism in probably one of the most difficult places in California?
This is one of the most difficult places in California, I've got to tell you. And what got me started was is a bit of a story. I'll try to give you the short version of it. I actually spent 20 years in the military. I'm a retired U.S. Navy senior chief. And so my life was, about as far away from marijuana, medical or otherwise, as you can possibly imagine. But I was injured while I was in the Navy, and pretty badly. I'm a disabled veteran now, and nothing else was working. And so a friend of mine one day finally told me that I should try medical marijuana. And my response was probably not that nice or positive, but I finally relented several months later, and I tried it because the Vicodin and the Valium wasn't working. And it was amazing. The experience was so amazing for me that I almost instantly became a convert. I tried it a couple times more, and it was such a relief to my symptoms, which were constant 24-hour symptoms, that I just converted over. And since that time, I've just realized that this is a huge, huge resource for people who have some fairly serious medical problems. And there's a large amount of misinformation being spread by people who, like me, previously had no contact with either patients who used it or with, you know, really had no experience with it. And so I think a lot of people on the outside world, if you want to call it that, really have no idea what we're all about and why people are so passionate about this as a medicine. So that's why I got involved. I really felt like the mainstream population needs to see that mainstream people really do use this and really do care about this as well. And this is not just merely a subculture.
Yes, I completely agree with what you're saying there, and I hope your website helps to illustrate that for people. I want to get to the part of your story that you mentioned about the Vicodin and the Valium and being on these very harsh pharmaceutical drugs. And you are probably the 9,472nd person that I've talked to who said the exact same thing, that they were on all of these really harsh medications, very addictive, and had to take other medications for the side effects of those medications. And then when they find medical cannabis, it's like a miracle, like a, you know, a door opening, a light shining through, and they can't believe it. And I've always found that that is kind of a double-edged sword, in that it's great that you get such a great relief from it and it gets you off all of these pharmaceuticals, but it also sounds so hard to believe to people that, that know nothing about cannabis. So how do you respond to those people that are skeptical of everyone calling this the miracle plant, that it's such a miracle? How do you get through to those people, especially in San Diego?
Well, I think that that the answer to that question probably is one of the reasons why we started this website. You know, there's a million websites out there, and ours is just one of a million websites, but we specifically decided that we wanted to appeal to the mainstream audience. We wanted to have a less, quote-unquote, weedy-looking website, something that had news and reviews and articles and business listings and, you know, oh, products. Name it what we would like to do just about anything with the site, but the objective of the site really was to push a little bit more of a mainstream look and feel. We were really impressed by what ASA had done with theirs, and we sort of wanted to continue in that vein so that people who really are on the outside, who've got no idea what any of this is, can look and see that, well, you know, by looking at this website and by looking at the news and the articles that you have here, this is just not exactly what I thought it was. Now, as far as reaching out to the folks on the other side who really have no idea how folks like me could be so passionate about this, you know, to be honest with you, I don't know yet what the final answer is on how to properly reach out to them, because my experience so far has been that had you asked me a year ago how I felt about medical marijuana, my answer to you would be really, really different than it is right now. Because I came from that community, I came from a place where marijuana or any other drug use was just simply not tolerated. 20 years in the military, and by the way, my father was a ATF agent, so you can kind of guess how much drug use I had in my prior life. I was 40 years old when I tried it for the first time, so it was a real challenge for me to pick this up as a medicine. It was a real challenge for my wife, and it was real. It was a real tough decision for us to make, but so I can really see why people who've never used it before and have no experience, probably the only thing they know about it is what they've heard, the misinformation that's generally spread about it, and I think that there's no way someone like that could really truly understand it unless they'd experienced it themselves, and that's probably not likely going to happen. So I think past that, the best answer I can give you is for people like myself who look and act and live a fairly standard normal lifestyle to be willing to stand up and say that there is nothing wrong with this and that normal people need this too, so legalize it.
Mm, very, very well said. So on this website, mymarijuanacommunity.com, are we talking about, is it a blog, a news site, or is it more social networking? What are some of the features people will enjoy on this site?
To be honest with you, it's sort of morphing with time. We started it out as a pure business listing site. We then got a lot of people who were interested in adding articles, and so so we added on the ability for people to blog. We've got the local San Diego chapter of ASA who blogs here regularly. Eugene Davidovich, who I'm sure you probably know, just joined the team and is going to be a regular writer. We are putting together right now a corner for Ed Rosenthal and also another corner for Henry Hemp to be regular article writers for the site as well. So we the site really is like I said, it's sort of morphing with time. One of the things that we've been doing recently that I really enjoy doing, and I think it's important for the community, is we've been out interviewing local dispensaries and other small business owners to find out what makes them special, what makes them tick, why is it that you do this, and then we write an article and we post it up on the site so that people can learn about what others in their community are doing. And we felt like this was a real value add, because if you think about the dispensary owners, these are the guys who are really on the front line of the movement. They are putting their freedom literally on the line to do what they do. So we really felt like it was our imperative to get some information out there about these people, what they do, what makes them so special, so that others can learn about them.
Well, that's great to hear. And Terry, I was wondering maybe if you have any thoughts on the subject here you'd like to add in?
Well, I just think that I really enjoyed meeting Dave, and I just think that what they are doing is necessary and revolutionary in the sense that it's getting your community involved. It is showing a different face of marijuana and cannabis use, and I think it's important. I think these aspects of people coming together behind the one cause is what's necessary, and not to say that, you know, the recreational use or the fun part of it still doesn't exist, but if we go and focus simply on that aspect of it, I really don't think that that's strong enough to get it legalized to the mainstream and to the, you know, to be to the right wing or to anything.
That's good point too, and I'd like to bring this around, Dave, to the future here, looking toward November in California. Of course, you guys have the opportunity to vote on the Regulate, Control, and Tax Cannabis Act of 2010. How does your activism fit in with that? Are you purely looking at the medical side of things, or are you on with the whole legalization movement in general?
No, I'm on with the whole legalization movement in general, to be honest with you. I think that it's almost impossible as a nearly daily medical user to see what I see going on around me and not become a bit more of an activist. When I first joined up, obviously the only thing I really intended to do was use it occasionally for medicine, but as I get more and more involved, I realize there's so much going on around me, and there's so many things that are happening that would impact my ability to continue to use it as a medicine and others as well, that I almost have to be involved. So the ballot in November is a very important one. I think there's some potential negatives in there that we have to be careful of. I think the one that I would probably caution people the most on is any move to move from a Schedule 1 to a Schedule 2 or any other schedule for that matter drug, because the moment you do that, you're going to put us in a position to where the only place that can be sold is in a place like Rite Aid. And once that happens, as a Schedule 2 drug, you can guess how long it's going to be until anybody can get their medicine again. So there's some negatives in there as well, but I think it's worth watching to see what happens.
I always point that out to people too, is that when we're in those lower schedules, 2 or 3, prescriptions are still required, and you just go from being someone busted with a bag of weed to someone busted with a illegal prescription, you know, and you're still busted either way. So that's something got to pay attention to. Dave Simpson is from MyMarijuanaCommunity.com down in San Diego, and we want to encourage everyone to check out the site, and we'll be back in touch with you again, Dave, sometime soon. I know there's so much going on in San Diego. We'll love to have you on the show again sometime. Thanks for joining us.
It was a pleasure to be here. Thanks a lot.
And Terry, before we let you go, anything new as far as American Hemptress stuff, information we need to get out to the community?
Just our show on May 15th. We're very excited about it. We have a very young, talented comedian named Joe Ellis that's going to be there. And we have T-shirts to buy now. So if anybody wants to T-shirt, you can come buy a T-shirt because we have an excellent logo. I almost
said
yoga, but it's logo.
Yeah, we got the logo up on the webcam, and also have Carrie asking in our chat here, are you going to be making it to the march in L.A. on Saturday?
Is that this Saturday?
That's this Saturday, darling.
Oh, You know what? I actually, to be honest with you, I hadn't realized that everything's just coming so fast.
I know.
I'm scheduled to work, but let me see if I can get out of it.
All right.
I got so much work for to go to the TC Expo. I'm going to try to make it. If I'm not there, I'll be there in spirit.
Okay, Terry. We'll march for you. Thank you so much. We join with Terry Joyce on every odd Thursday of the month for the Southern California scene, the latest in what's happening with dispensaries and the marijuana activists in the Golden State, especially Southern California. Coming up after these messages, we are going to come back with a radical rant, tell you a little bit about my thoughts on the passing of Jack Herer, the Emperor of Hemp, and one of the more notorious people in this movement who I have a few words for. We're right back after this.
Hello, this is Webb Hubble. Life insurance is now available for responsible marijuana smokers. For years, responsible marijuana smokers have not been able to access affordable life insurance products. Normal uniquely supports cannabis consumers. Two carriers have already agreed to offer all of their traditional life insurance products at all levels without excluding individuals who smoke marijuana responsibly. Help Normal and help yourself. If you've been declined for life insurance, are paying above market premiums, or simply want to know what now may be available in the way of insurance for marijuana smokers, contact me at info@mclaughlinonline.com or simply call me at 202-293-5566.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share. This is Normal Show Live.
Cause the day was hard and your work was long and you need a break from all that's wrong. You better look at the clock cause it's 4:19. Time to reach in that pocket for your bag of green and smoke that weed. Smoke that weed. Smoke that weed.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 47 after the hour. Got a few minutes here for the patented radical rant. And the first part of this, I want to make some mentions of this last weekend and the memorial for Jack Herer, the Emperor of Hemp, who passed away on Tax Day, April 15th, 2010, at the age of 70. Of course, everyone in the marijuana movement feels the loss of the Emperor. He was, you know, back in 1985 when the marijuana movement was at its lowest. You know, the polls for marijuana legalization were around 16-20%. He came out with that book, The Emperor of Hemp, The Emperor Wears No Clothes, excuse me. And if you haven't read that, you desperately need to, because it is the perfect launching point for understanding the history, our hemp heritage in this country, and the dastardly, fiendish things that have happened, especially in the early 20th century, to separate us from that heritage. Now, I'll have to admit that I did not know Jack as well as I would have liked to have known Jack, but being that he was here in Oregon quite often, you know, his son Mark has the Third Eye shop over there on the Hawthorne here in Portland, and Jack was by quite a bit, so I did get to see him on the Cannabis Common Sense TV show many times, be there in the audience or even on stage with him at the last time he was at the show. He, of course, was at all of the Portland Hemp Stock events that I spoke at most of them, and we tabled together somewhat. I was at one table, he was at another, so I had the opportunity to speak with him on many occasions, but of course did not know him, you know, as much as most people in the movement. Even I'm fairly new to this. I've started in 2005, but I do want to make an important point, and that's why I kind of titled this thing WWJHD, What Would Jack Herer Do? Because I think there's this tendency with people sometimes when someone passes away, someone who's an icon in a movement, politically, socially, religiously, whatever, to begin to ascribe more to the person than what really existed in real life. While I was at the Jack Harrah Memorial, there was a lot of people that were calling out, you know, that were speaking at the memorial, talking about Jack's legacy and how he so desperately wanted marijuana legalized and to end this stupid prohibition. And in Jack's memory, we need to get out in California and vote for the Regulate, Control, and Tax Cannabis Act of 2010, which is a wonderful sentiment. I agree. I think we need to vote for that act, but it does kind of gloss over the fact that Jack wasn't a big proponent of that particular initiative language. He has his own initiative that he was proposing, CCHH, and I forget exactly what it all stands for, but the Jack Harrah Initiative was a much broader in scope initiative than this Tax Cannabis Act. It would have allowed, I believe, up to 12 pounds and 99 plants for personal possession and consumption and cultivation. So, you know, far greater than what we've got in the Tax Cannabis Act that has 1 ounce and a 5x5 garden. So Jack wasn't necessarily the biggest cheerleader for this. And in fact, at Jack's last speech, I was there at Portland Hempstock. He gave his last speech on stage, and then that's when he collapsed backstage after the speech, had his heart attack. I reported to it on my second ever live show here for Normal. But in that speech, he was pretty clear about his feelings about it. He said something to the effect of, I don't want to give the government any fucking penny of taxes. They don't deserve it. They should be locked up for what they've done to the people, you know, what they've done to this plant, etc. So Jack was a very emotional man and very strongly opinionated about cannabis not being taxed, about being completely free. This is a mode of thought that I like to call the marijuana as tomatoes school of thinking. These are the folks that believe that, you know, marijuana should be absolutely free, that you should be able to grow as much of it as you want, for any purpose you want, sell it to whoever you want, do whatever you want with it, should be tax-free, regulation-free, as free as the grass growing on the plains. And it's a lovely thought, and it's something that Jack supported as well. Jack completely believed in that notion. But this is where I'm going to maybe step on some toes a little bit here, because I don't believe, first of all, those of you who don't know, I'm an atheist, right? So I don't have any need for deity. And so I don't like to deify people either. I accept Jack Harrah who he was, warts and all. He was a very brave man. He stood up and did some great activism. But I also, even when he was alive, disagreed with him on the marijuana as tomatoes point. And of course, my disagreement comes from the notion that politics is the art of the possible, that you do have to make compromises and you do have to take baby steps to get to where your goals eventually will lead you. And the notion that, first of all, that we could get 12 pounds and 99 plants on the ballot, and if it did make the ballot, that it would have a shot in hell of passing, I find that very, very hard to believe. And I also don't believe that the marijuana as tomatoes thing is really ever going to work anyway. Every agricultural product in this country, including tomatoes, are taxed and regulated if you grow enough of them, right? You go 3 or 4, you know, tomato plants out in your backyard, nobody's going to care, right? But you go buy, you know, 8-10 acres of land and plant tomatoes on them, and suddenly you're subject to all sorts of taxation and regulation. I don't see that marijuana is going to be any different. If every agricultural product is taxed, then certainly marijuana is going to be taxed. And let's not forget that all the other agricultural products don't get you high, right? So here's something that has an added premium that a tomato doesn't have, right? They say, you know, you should be able to grow tomatoes in our backyard. Well, look, kids from the high schools and the junior highs aren't going to hop your fence to try to steal your tomatoes, right? They're not going to try to hop your fence to steal your tomatoes to take them to the school to sell them to other kids. Nobody's going to fight a gun battle over your tomatoes, right? Nobody. So the whole tomato analogy doesn't work for me. Now that leads me to the second part of this rant, and that is the idiocy of a man by the name of Bruce Cain. And normally I would have people on the air to defend themselves, but he doesn't deserve it. He doesn't deserve my airspace. I'm just going to trash him here for the next 7 minutes. First of all, Bruce Cain heads up this thing called MERP, which is the Marijuana Relegalization Project, but he always calls it M-E-R-P. There is no E in it, but, you know, that kind of sets the stage for what we're talking about here. Bruce Cain is one of these marijuana as tomatoes guys, right? They should be absolutely legal, and I'd have no problem with that normally, right? Have your own beliefs. Jack had that belief. That's fantastic. Where I have a problem is that Bruce Kane is an unrepentant liar. Unrepentant liar, and has been called on it numerous times. Many places, on Facebook, in email correspondence to Mark Emery, Jody Emery, Gatewood Galbraith. The latest email that I got from him had just about every email address for every leader in the marijuana movement. Drug Policy Alliance's Ethan Nadelman was on it. I mean, everybody's on this list. And he continually keeps saying that the moneyed drug organizations, that's what he always calls us, the moneyed drug organizations, MPP, DPA, and Normal do not want people to be able to grow at home. His belief here is that all of our groups are secretly, you know, working with the government to make sure that there's a monopoly so that nobody will ever be able to grow their own. Now, I can't speak for DPA, and I certainly can't speak for MPP, considering their, you know, HALO initiative in Arizona that doesn't allow home growing. But Normal has always stood for the right to home grow. And in fact, we got a big page up on our website, The Importance of Personal Cultivation, where we lay out the fact that you have to have home grow or else you're subject to the whims of corporations or governments. We have told them this many times. We have sent him emails many times with the links to the words in print. We have sent him all sorts of videos and information and news stories of Normal chapters all around the country who are fighting for the right to home grow. But time after time after time, he keeps coming back and saying Normal and the moneyed organizations do not support the right to home grow. So that was what got me first, you know, at a little bit of a simmer here with Mr. Bruce Merp Kane. The latest email, though, again, this is one, Jody Emery, Mark Emery, going out to the entire family of everybody who are my colleagues. This latest one was entitled, How Normal is Shitting on the Grave of Jack Herer. I was just at the grave of Jack Herer, and I assure you there was no defecation taking place by myself or anyone representing Normal or any moneyed drug policy organization. And of course, he wants to say that Normal is supporting the California Tax Cannabis Initiative, and that Jack wouldn't have wanted that, and that's shitting on his grave because Jack would have wanted his initiative with the 12 plants and the 99 plants and the 12 pounds. Whatever. Our point is this. Jack Herer was always about legalization, keeping people out of jail, out of prison, out of ending this stupid prohibition. And you cannot convince me that this man would support a 0 ounce limit and 0x0 garden over the possibility of a 1 ounce limit and a 5x5 garden. Given the fact that his initiative is not on the ballot and is probably not going to make the ballot, had Jack Herer had the choice of continuing prohibition or making a baby step forward, I'm damn sure Jack would have supported making the baby step forward. But in the eyes of Bruce Merp Kane, it's Normal as shitting on Jack's grave. Now, that got me up to a boil. But what got me overheated was last night, I'm up till about, I think it was 3:45 this morning when I finally got to bed. I'm rereading my emails, and I got this one from Bruce Merp Kane, talking about Jack Herer and how he suffered his heart attack in 2000, and he suffered his second heart attack in 2009, and wow, isn't it a coincidence that Normal's Martinez was there for both of them? This man, Bruce McCain, is insinuating that my good friend and mentor, Madeline Martinez from Oregon Normal, somehow, through either her opinion, her activism, or whatever, somehow led to the heart attacks that first cost him so much of his speech and mobility in 2000, and then cost him his life 7 or so months later, from 2009, that's just despicable. That even goes beyond the boundaries of any sort of decorum or good taste to insinuate that that would be even a possibility. He also mentioned how Dennis Perrone recently had a stroke, and again, trying to insinuate that it's because there's people that are for legalization that somehow, you know, lead to the stress or something. So Bruce Kane, okay, so there you got the whole story, right? You got the picture of how pissed off I am at Bruce Kane. He comes back, and the reason why he's emailing me is because he wants someone to come on to Casper Leach's Time for Hemp show and debate him about MERP versus this California thing. Really? You're going to say that I'm shitting on someone's grave? You're going to say that one of my best friends caused the death of one of my heroes, and you expect me to get on the air with you and share airtime with you? F you, Bruce Kane. take your MERP and shove it up your ass. I'm Radical Russ. For everyone here at Normal, Cannabis Carry and Ganja John, thanks for joining us. And sorry I got so angry. We'll be all happiness and light tomorrow. We'll take care of each other, tokers, and we'll see you on Friday for the show, as well as Saturday for the Global Marijuana March. We're out. Don't forget, again, Saturday, the Global Marijuana March. Terry Joyce, get your day off. Get out to the march, girl. We hope to see you all there. Take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down.